As the sun set on that first holy Saturday, the shadows crept over a world that would never be the same again. To one who had been standing in that garden long ago, the dying sunlight would have revealed the tomb in which lay the body of the Son of God, bloody and mangled, cold and lifeless, on a limestone slab, apparently defeated. The dying sunlight would have revealed the stone rolled into its place, and the seal set, and the guard posted, and death grasping his prey, apparently victorious. And so things stood as the sun set on that holy Saturday. But something happened in the night, and the world has never been the same. To the holy women rushing to the tomb that first Easter morning, the dawn revealed scenes of a world made new. And he who was dead was alive again, and he who had been cruelly put to shame stood glorious and vindicated, and God himself stood in the garden alive and prepared to make all things new. Today we keep the octave day of Easter. For these 8 days and throughout this season of 50 days that will follow, we continue to rejoice in the resurrection of Christ. We take so long because we need time to stretch out our minds to the magnitude of what happened in the tomb 2,000 years ago and to ponder its effects. And it is with the effects of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that the scriptures we hear this morning are alive. The Acts of the Apostles speaks of a community filled with the very life of the risen Lord, loving one another, sharing what they have in common. It tells of those scared and scattered fishermen preaching with power the resurrection of the Son of God from the dead. The psalm, which we heard this morning, speaks of a great reversal, the stone rejected by the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And amidst scenes of battle, the psalmist cries out that there are shouts of joy and salvation in the tents of the just. The epistle of St. John speaks of how those who had been estranged from God have been begotten by him, have become his children by adoption, and come to share his life. And in the gospel that we heard today, Jesus speaks of peace and the forgiveness of sins. And step by step, he leads Thomas out of the darkness of doubt into the light of faith. Amidst all these manifold effects of the resurrection, I would like to draw our attention this morning to just one of them. It comes in the beginning of the gospel that we heard today. The scene is the evening of the first Easter, and the scared disciples are huddled together in a room with locked doors when we read that Jesus appeared in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." We read further that he showed them his hands and his side. Those wounds, the signs of his suffering and his shame, now become forever the badges of his victory. And then we read this, that the disciples rejoiced when they saw the risen Lord. The joy that erupted in their hearts on that night still echoes through the church and the halls of heaven. This morning, I would like to consider this Christian joy, this spiritual joy, this Easter joy. And I'd like to say mainly two things this morning about it. First of all, something about its cause, which is faith and love. And secondly, something about its effect, which is to conquer the world. Anyone who's had any experience of life has had experience of both joys and sorrows. Every human life is marked with both. We have successes and setbacks. We have tragedies and triumphs. And we know in alternation, rejoicing and sadness. As the wheels of fortune turn around, as our fortunes ebb and flow, we slide back and forth, and that's the common experience of mankind. But just a cursory glance at the joy mentioned in the gospel today shows us that this joy, this Easter joy, is of an entirely different kind. This joy is not possessed one day only to be lost the next. This joy endures and abides. The reason is that this joy is not founded in the passing goods of this world. It's not a rejoicing in money or power or pleasure or fame or any of the things that we can possess one day only to lose the next. This joy is founded on eternal goods which endure forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose on Easter Sunday, still lives and lives forever. And the life that he came to share with us, that he came to put into our hearts, is meant to last forever. And the rejoicing that echoes even now in the halls of heaven will never pass away, for it is founded on eternal goods and an eternal victory. And it is faith and love which allow us to rejoice in those goods too. Faith which opens up our minds to know these goods, raises our minds up to them. It's by faith that we know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. By faith that we know that he shares his life with us. By faith that we grasp already the mystery of the Holy Trinity and of eternal life, which we hope one day to see face to face. Faith opens up our vision to eternal goods, as it opened up the vision of the Apostle St. Thomas, and love raises up our hearts to them. And we all rejoice in what we love, and if we let God teach us to love eternal things, we begin to feel a joy that can endure forever. The second thing I want to say about this Christian joy is something about its effect, that it conquers the world. It's no accident that every year during the season of Easter, the church reads from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. That book of the New Testament tells the story of the very first years of the church, from its beginnings among that small community gathered around the risen Lord until the gospel is preached even in Rome and the center of the empire. That story is connected with Easter because the very same life of Jesus Christ is the life he has placed in his church, the life his church continues to live. But that story of the beginnings of the church is filled with sorrows too. There's no shortage in its pages of difficulties, of persecutions, of sufferings and exile, of beatings and imprisonments, even martyrdom and death. But on its pages, though we read of so many difficulties, we also read of a victory born of joy. The letter to the Hebrews says of Jesus Christ that for the sake of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. And he put that same joy in the hearts of his apostles. And because they could rejoice in the resurrection of their Lord and the life he came to bring, they were strengthened to carry the news of that joy to the very ends of the world. Through suffering and even to the shedding of their blood, joy gave them courage to spread the Christian faith. And the same joy can give us courage too. This, then, my brothers and sisters, is the joy of Easter. We hear it in the voice of the Savior giving to his disciples a peace that the world cannot give. We hear it sounding in the voices of angels telling tidings of great gladness beyond all hope. He is risen, just as he said. We see that joy on the faces of the apostles leaving behind their nets and their homes, their country, and everything they knew to spread the tidings of that joy to the ends of the world. We see that joy in the hearts of Christians down through the centuries, We even see that joy glimmering on the faces of the martyrs. This Easter, let us remember that this joy, the joy of all the Christian ages, is our joy too.